Dear friends, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of our gospel to serve as our sermon text this morning are these few verses. Luke chapter 3, beginning with 4. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough ways smooth. And everyone will see the salvation of God. Dear friends in Christ, don't sin. Stop sinning. Just don't do it. Be done with your sinful ways. Put all that sin aside. Forget about how you sinned yesterday. Forget about your plans to sin tomorrow. And quit it. Just stop. Easier said than done? Is ceasing and desisting from sin, is stopping from sin a little bit harder than just saying, I'm not going to do it? Now, I do wonder if we just told ourselves those words in the morning, if maybe in some cases it would actually work. However, when it comes to sin, as simple as it may be, sometimes we do find ourselves in very complex situations with very layered principles, and not sinning actually becomes something a little bit more like road construction, a little bit like putting together a whole highway. And with infrastructure bills in the news and with highway preparation all around us constantly, especially when you're traveling this time of year, well, maybe that's a good comparison. It's God's comparison in Isaiah, first and foremost, and then in the mouth of John here in Luke chapter 3. See, long ago, when a king wanted to visit his realm, it was the duty of the people who were receiving him to make the road ready for him. They'd have to dig out all the stones, grab their pickaxes and shovels and wheelbarrows and start putting things together, making sure the road was straight, making sure there weren't deep ruts and ravines, making sure there wasn't some kind of appendage of a hill still jutting into the road, making sure there weren't trees and other things in place. In a circuit meeting with our pastors in Indiana and Kentucky, our circuit pastor, kind of like my pastor, the guy who's in charge of all of us in a certain way, he lives in Kentucky, but he served as a missionary in Africa for years and years. And he saw this firsthand. He knew this road. It sounds like he was accustomed to traveling a road into a national park in a foreign country in Africa where he was. I'm not sure if it was Zambia or which particular country. But he said not only were there big gaping holes, but sometimes places where you could probably fit an 18-wheeler. Certainly places where you couldn't get a 4x4 through, and the tires weren't high enough on any vehicle when it came to some of the rough steps on this pathway. But then, the president of that particular country came to visit, and he said, well, you hadn't seen a road grader at all in 10 years. All of a sudden, you were seeing dump trucks, front loaders, and pretty much everything imaginable to make that new, clean, pristine, smooth, straight road. Pastor Martin said it was just unrecognizable by the time I came in and visited again. What would not be done for the residents who lived there was done for the one man who wanted to visit that place once. Now, for those of us who live in this country, that may be a little grating on our ears to think that kind of top-down authority, that they wouldn't clean up the road for normal travel and the residents who live there, but they would for this one man once. But it's not without its point. When God comes to us proclaiming the peace and comfort that we have in Jesus, if that peace and comfort means anything at all to us, we're going to get ready for it. We're going to prepare for it. We're going to search our hearts and seek after humility. That might mean that we consider our sin. It must mean we turn from our crooked hearts and bring something worth offering to this Lord. But I'll tell you the trick. It's the very person for whom we are preparing our hearts who comes himself to prepare them for us. We're going to see how in this sermon text, because when the Lord comes near, he humbles his people. And before me, I see God's people. How does the Lord humble us in his word today? Now, from the very get-go in Luke chapter 3, we learn some history. I'm not sure if you were nodding your head. Oh, yeah, Tiberias. Oh, yeah, Abilene. Oh, yeah, Trachonitis. All these places I'm super familiar with. Okay, so you're not Luke's original audience, as the doctor wrote these details down and played the part of historian quite well. I will point out to you that when a holy book does this, it risks a lot. And no other holy book attempts to locate itself in geography and history. Not like the scriptures, not like the New Testament, not like Luke chapter 3. And the same Luke who wrote chapter 2 that we'll hear on Christmas, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree, so on and so forth. In the very next chapter here, Luke chapter 3, he's telling us some other things that help us locate history. And all of this does, I won't get into what a tetrarch is, you know, one of four rulers. This was after the time of Herod the Great. There's a lot of details we could discuss. Pontius Pilate was likely just beginning his governorship, his governance over this area, and how the divisions were made, the fact that Tiberius Caesar had some kind of co-regency with Caesar Augustus before Augustus died and passed his reign on to him. All those details are interesting and informative and worth getting into. But today, let's just note that this official historical setup substantiates Luke's claims, as well as magnifies the importance of John. This megaphone, this forerunner, this person who came to proclaim. And that's a really interesting phrase, too, where we're told the word of God came upon John. What an exciting and momentous break between the two testaments. In the book of Malachi, which we didn't hear from today, but in Malachi, you're going to have to trust me on this or just turn to Malachi chapter 3. What you note is that there is a messenger who comes. There is a messenger who comes before the messenger of the covenant. We did read that, didn't we? Our gospel is quoting Isaiah, so I was remiss in remembering the first lesson. We did quote from that. There was going to be a messenger, and Malachi was the last prophet, the last literary prophet historically. So he predicts the coming of the messenger of the covenant, but before that capital M messenger would come lowercase m messenger. And the lowercase messenger was there to do as Isaiah predicted, was there to prepare the way of the Lord, to do highway construction work, And when you see words like that, preparing the way of the Lord, you might think of kings who come to a certain place so that the residents want everything to look good. They want everything to be cleared and cleaned up. They want a nice, smooth, straight highway for the king to impress him, to make things just right. But as you read along in words like this, you notice this is actually a spiritual paving of a highway. This is a spiritual preparation for the Lord. This is preparing for the Lord in the hearts of people. So today at church, we didn't get out the big construction trucks, as they did in our neighborhood this past summer. They didn't get out these great big giant machines on wheels that strip off the face of the road and spit gravel at an alarming rate back into dump trucks behind it. Just fascinating, just amazing how we do this kind of road work. But it's no less momentous when a messenger like John comes to pave the hearts of people, to prepare the way of the Lord. We should really be thinking in terms of whether our hearts are right with God when we're approached by a messenger like John. And he doesn't really consider himself much more than a voice. Just a voice shouting out in the wilderness. Just the voice of the Lord. He's not the one with the authority. He just does as he's told and says what he's told to speak. He's the Lord's megaphone, a forerunner, a proclaimer, a preacher, a herald, to go before this king and to tell people that he's coming, so that there's warning. In fact, when they tore up our road this past summer in our neighborhood, they put down stakes with signs that said, don't park on the curb between this and this date, or either your car is going to be towed, or you're going to get run over by some machinery. They didn't say it exactly like that. But that's how we took it. So we kept our cars off the curb, which is kind of the way I like it anyway, as I weave my way into the neighborhood. It's kind of nice to be warned about these great big machines that are going to move through before your car is towed. And so it really is a great benefit that John came. John, we often call him John the Baptist, who came before the Lord, who came in his stead and in his place in order to tell him, the Lord is coming. It's time to get your hearts ready for God. Not only did God send his messenger, but Isaiah had previously messaged that God would send his messenger. And so, we have a lot of good warning not to sin. Friends, you've been warned. Stop sinning. Make your hearts right with God. Prepare a royal highway right here, straight through your heart to your soul. That's what God wants. Now, today, do you offer a crooked heart to God? Or is your heart right with God? Did you come with the baggage of doubt, unbelief, filthy sin, with obstacles for the Lord to maybe weave his way around or through your heart, and then maybe, you know, he can do some ruling there? But only, Lord, if you get past these obstacles of sin that I want right here, that I want to keep inside my heart. Well, if you're anything like me, I'm wagering that you're more like the latter, that you have sins and obstacles in your heart, and what better time than Advent to clear them away? You know what John says? When John says, repent, and comes preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, that's actually the first road sign that we have. And that's the first highway type of language, because what John is saying with the word like repent is, it's time for a U-turn, 180 degrees around, go the other direction from your sin. In some places, in some states, on some roads, U-turns are illegal. But in the ministry of John the Baptist, it's pretty much nothing but U-turns away from your sin. Consider the sin that is your goal. Consider the desires of your heart that are unclean. Consider all of the evil that you find yourself falling into and participating in. It's U-turn time. Repent means a whole change of heart and mind away from that action. So that greater things are in your, so that sin is in your rearview mirror, and greater things are in front of you in your windshield. And we can get an idea of the kind of sins if we're not really sure, okay, what is plaguing me? Then we can go to the kind of road work that he continues to say. Make his path straight, every valley will be filled, every mountain and hill will be made low, the crooked will become straight, and the rough ways smooth. Some people live in a deep abyss, in the lowest class of sinners, doing unmentionable things and behind back doors. We could talk about fornicators, unmentionable sins, all kinds of things that you wouldn't want anyone to see. Fill in that low place, John is saying. That's no place for a child of God to be. Or we could talk about the heights and the mountains that God wants leveled so that he has this path forward. Maybe you're proud. Maybe your sin is arrogance. Maybe you think you are it. You are the people. And, you know, there's these other sinners here at church alongside me, but at least I'm not like them. God says, level that out. It's time to bring those mountains down low. May they bow to greet the Lord. Or crooked ways. Crooked ways, those are the paths of dishonest people who have the reputation of being crooks. Thieves, gamblers, racketeers, hackers. Different things that you do to make that end around the right way forward. Those crooked things, those ways need to be straightened out. And then there are the rough ways that should be made smooth. Some of us may build a reputation on being rough around the edges. And there's nothing wrong with being a common man, a common woman, a common Christian. But then there are certainly those rough around the edges jokes that are told and lies that are spoken and deeds and gossip that we fall into. Those are worth smoothing over. Those things don't belong in the hearts and minds of Christians. Many of us Christians have made the U-turn. All of us have repented at some point in time. But if you're like me, what you find is you end up on this sort of series of roundabouts. I think that's kind of karma-like, isn't it? Where yeah, you turned around from that sin, but not too long later, you turned around from holiness too. You came back and you were headed for that sin after all. And around we go. Maybe this December you're finding yourself into the same sins that you did last December. Or this week you find yourself falling into the same sins as you did the previous week. Or this time you approach communion, you realized your heart feels the same way as it did last time you approached communion. Break the pattern, brothers and sisters. Fight against that. Take the full U-turn and never look back. Because it's the King in your future. After you repent, it's Him that you're staring at. Notice the last verse. It says, every person, all flesh, will see Him and see His salvation. That's the promise God holds out to those who make that pathway secure. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying there's any possible way you can leave today and this week do absolutely no sin. But there's a difference between that and being okay with doing more sin. Let the law do its heavy lifting and its road construction in your heart. Trust that there is a whole lot of value to paving that path, so that there's more room for your Savior and His throne to enter in. And know that it's not only your baptism when you first became a Christian that gives you the power to fight against those sins, but the power is in God's Word every Sunday as you hearken back to that first drowning of your sins. The power is in God's Word every Sunday, should you choose to approach Holy Communion. The power is in God's word of forgiveness. And where sin increased, so did God's grace all the more. When the stones are gathered out, the crooked place is straightened, and the rough ones made level and smooth. The king promises his visit in humble hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.